You're listening to the Run for Your Lives podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Paik.
And this is the Run for Your Lives podcast.
This week we are talking about a little bit of most all 25 movies that we've already covered. This is a special episode. So yeah, something a little different. We don't have a movie that we're covering this week, but we wanted to kind of wrap up, you know, it's kind of not really part two of last week, but you know, we had our milestone episode of 25. We figured that's a cool way to kind of wrap up a season. So this is kind of our season finale episode where we look back on the past 25 movies we've covered and pick and talk about some of our favorite movies, monsters, characters, moments, whatever, from these past 25. Kind of go back and recap and relive a little bit of our fun times so far.
Yes, and it has been so much fun. I feel like we just started the podcast. So for us to get to this episode, I'm really just kind of blown away. You don't realize how much time goes by until you're posting episodes and you realize, oh, yes, 25. Wow, that's a milestone.
Yep, crazy.
We like to celebrate things here at Run for Your Lives podcast. So we are celebrating 25 episodes with this, as Paik mentioned, special episode about some of our favorite things from the first 25 movies that we covered.
Yeah. So if there's anybody, and we'll get to feedback way later in the episode, but if there's anybody that didn't get any feedback in that now, as they're listening, would like to kind of give their stuff, we are always open. Again, you know, I'm jumping the gun on this a little early because I'll mention it again at the end, I'm sure, but we always love feedback from everything. So still, you know, if you have anything to say about anything we talk about or have some of your favorites, let us know. You still got time. And as you're listening to this, if you're going back, if you haven't listened to every one of our episodes, if you're not a diehard fan who's been with us every single episode, that's fine. Don't expect you to all the time. But, you know, yeah, hopefully this will then get some of you to go back and listen to some of our older episodes and, you know, hear us nerd out about some of these other movies and characters and stuff that we talk about today.
Absolutely. It's always so much fun.
All right. Well, I guess it's time to just like dive into this. It's, you know, I'm used to like, oh, right, where's our behind the scenes?
Yeah.
And like special, where's not really any. Here's some behind the scenes for you. I don't know how my audio is going to come across to you guys. So if it's a little wonky or a little off than usual, I will apologize for that. I'm having some technical issues. My laptop has decided it doesn't want to play nice anymore. It doesn't want to participate in podcasting anymore. So we're having to do a little something else, but I went ahead and already ordered me a new MacBook. So things will be back to sounding really great soon. Daphne's a wizard, so I'm sure she'll make this sound great.
Well, I've had 25 episodes to get better at editing. I feel like I'm getting better. I'm still not as fast as some of our friends, but I think it's because I just take a different approach when I'm doing it. Everyone does it their own way, and here at Run For Your Lives, we do it the way that we want, and for me, that's the easiest way to do it. I can give some behind the scenes. We started this podcast back in late July of 2020 and have covered some of our favorite films already, but we still have tons in the pipeline that we want to cover, and we have some special guests coming on in the coming weeks to talk about a couple of movies that mean a lot or are fun for them. So we always ask our guests to come in and bring their movie that they like the most or one that they think would be fun to cover. So we get to cover some films that may not have ever been on our radar at that time.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
So I think we should jump in. I think we're ready.
All right.
We're going to start with monsters just because this is Run For Your Lives. We do love monsters. And I feel like it's a fitting place to start.
All right. So here's kind of the format that we went with is we each ranked our top monsters, characters, and then movies overall. And the movies could mean, you know, just the movie in general, or sometimes just the podcast episode that came from us watching that movie. And the discussion sometimes played a part in helping choose some of those. So those will be our format. We will go back and forth, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, our top fives going back and forth. And we did go ahead and talk before this. We wanted to make sure that we had separate number, you know, separate top fives. So that way you will get 10 in each category that we will recap. And we'll try not to make it too long, but yeah, we'll kind of recap why these things are our favorites and talk about them and reminisce a little bit on what made them so sweet. And then, yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We'll have some honorable mentions and stuff after that we won't really get too deep into, but just to show them a little love, even if we don't talk about them much.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like we left out a couple of movies. Not sure why. I mean, I feel like the movies that we've covered are really good, but sometimes there are just movies that are better or mm-hmm. ones that resonate with us, characters or monsters or disasters that resonate with us more. So those are the ones that we gravitated towards. So I'm really excited to share our list, and I feel like we should not prolong it any longer.
No, let's go.
All right.
So, like you said, let's go ahead and start with monsters. Number 5, who's going first?
I'll go first for the monsters.
All right.
So for me, number 5 was the giant crab from Love and Monsters.
All right. You can tell from the eyes.
You can tell from the eyes. I've watched that movie again since then just because it just gives me lots of feels. Like, there's a lot of sadness, but there's also some joy and some wonderful characters that I like to revisit. And I feel really strongly about this giant crab being on this list because it played such a pivotal role in the end of the movie. And I think that the effects work that was done was incredible. I hope that it will continue to hold up over time, but I really love this crab and it always hits me. You know, it's in the eyes. It always takes me to that crab every time.
Cool. I like how it kind of, you know, is set up as being this very scary kind of video game final boss kind of feel to it. That's when you realize like, oh, nope, it's more the people. And it really is. It kind of sets that stage. Like, you know, they talk about that through that movie as far as like, not all of the monsters are bad. There are the good ones and you can tell. And so even at like face value, you might not think something is good, but then when you really kind of dig underneath and you see the good in it. And there's a metaphor hidden in there somewhere.
Minnow. I think it was Minnow that actually told Joel that it was in the eyes.
Yeah.
And that was just a really special moment too in the movie. And I feel like it all culminated in the ending that we got. That's why I put the giant crab. I wish it had a name. That's why I put it on my list.
Awesome. I love that.
So Paige, why don't you tell us your number 5?
My number 5. I'm starting off by bending the rules a little bit already.
bending the rules.
I know, but it's our podcast. We can do what we want.
That's right.
Because, you know, we have characters and we have monsters. And a lot of people would maybe consider this to be more of a character than a monster. But, I mean, when we're covering a movie and there is a big bad, a villain, a main scary thing that the people are running from or worried about in the movie, I'm going to consider that the monster of the movie. And so with that caveat, my number 5 is Michael Myers himself from Halloween.
Wow. Yes. Michael Myers is quite a villain. He is quite a scary monster.
Yeah. I mean, he's like kind of like immortal. So
yeah.
Not necessarily like fully human form. Like he's more, like you said, bending the rules a little bit, but I'm going to make it count. I'm going to make it count.
I totally can see why you put him on your list, and I agree with you 100%. He's totally a monster. I feel like, you know, like you said, he could be looked at like a character, but not given the destruction that comes along. And I still think of your buddies sitting in the cop car talking about lunch or dinner and how sad it was when they died. And yeah, Michael Myers, he's not a nice guy. He's a real beast. So I think he totally falls in under monsters.
There's like really not any humanity or sympathy left there at all.
No, for not at all.
Anyone. So yeah, it makes a very scary monster that's, I mean, throughout that film, like even the people who feel like they have the upper hand on him are still terrified of him the entire time.
Oh, absolutely. So absolutely.
That's where I land.
All right. So my number 4 is actually, I'm breaking the rules because I'm putting 2 monsters on one line, but they are from the same movie, and that is Lizzie and George from Rampage.
Nice.
Loved when George ate Claire. That's one of my favorite scenes from the movie. And if you notice some of our social media, I included that picture in some of the promoting of this episode because I thought it was really cool. And I loved how Lizzie, we didn't see her most of the time until she makes her grand entrance. And I just thought it was really effective. So I had to put them on this list.
Oh, yeah. George is like a conflicted monster as far as like has his monster moments, but then like the nicer kind, like connected to humanity side does come back. I mean, you know, I don't want to spoil too much on a lot of these movies that, you know, if people haven't watched them, but also like, well, we're covering, you know, a lot of this stuff. So, I mean, yeah, there's a, you know, reason that the monsters in that movie or the animals that have been mutated have this like mean streak in them. It's not completely their fault, but. With something like Lizzie is just a wild animal.
Yeah.
A wild alligator. Like that's, you get what you get with you, that.
Absolutely. It totally, you totally do. And I liked the movie a lot more than I thought I would. And one of the reasons I liked it so much was because of Lizzie and George. So I had to put them on this list.
Cool. Well, then my number four, we're going to go back pretty dang early in our podcasting.
Oh my goodness.
Because I'm going to pick the aptly named monster Clover from Cloverfield.
I feel like no list would be complete without that.
Right. There's just something about that. Yeah, Clover, because it's this like kaiju setup, but it's like the American kaiju.
Yes. And
I'm pretty sure I remember we talked about this in our episode covering that was the whole purpose is the creators and writers and stuff. It's like they wanted a Godzilla for America that wasn't a ripoff of Godzilla. They wanted something very unique, creative, and new, but gave that kaiju Godzilla effect. And I think they did a great job with Clover.
Oh, absolutely. And we didn't get to see a lot of her. I mean, we saw glimpses, but that part near the end when she takes out our beloved HUD, seeing her full face, oh my gosh, just the creepiest. So creepy. Mm-hmm. So deserving of a place on the list. I feel like we couldn't have this list without her.
Oh, yeah. So got to give that love to Clover from Cloverfield, which I'm, again, as of right now, there's talks of being, you know, the next Cloverfield movie is supposed to be a direct sequel to the first one and not like just kind of a weird tangent like tied to like the others have been. We'll see what happens with that, but I'm excited if that's the case.
Me too. I'm excited for new movies in general. Anything new that they can bring to the table, as long as they do it well, I feel like it's going to be a win-win. And speaking of monsters that we couldn't do this list without, I have to bring up my number three, which is the iconic kaiju Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
So Godzilla is... While the movie itself may not have been my favorite movie that we covered, I didn't have any complaints about Godzilla or the Muto, either of the Muto in the movie. It was incredibly done, the effects, but I couldn't in good faith do this list without putting Godzilla on it because if you look back at all of the different movies that have come over time, not just the movie that we covered, but all of the movies, it represents so much of filmmaking over the last like 60 years, all different incarnations of things. And I'm excited. We're going to be covering Godzilla King of the Monsters in a few weeks. And we will also be covering Godzilla vs. Kong. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. All right. My number three, I had to pick Modare, which is the Jotun monster from The Ritual.
Oh, that movie. Yes.
Holy shit, if that thing isn't just one of the scariest and creepiest designs of any monster I've ever seen in any movie ever.
It's such a work of art. Like the design of that monster is creative, cool, terrifying. I mean, those are just three adjectives that I would use to describe it.
I mean, like, how do you describe it? It's like a giant elk moose thing with a human face in the middle of its torso and these long creepy hands and nails and antlers, and it's terrifying.
Yeah, it really is terrifying. There's no I would not want to ever meet it. And I live in Maine, and there are woods all around my house, I mean, when you go out into the woods, I remember not long after we did that episode, I went for a walk because we have a walking trail nearby. I can't even look at the woods the same because I'm thinking, oh my God, it's quiet, but what's out here?
He's there. They're just watching. That's another thing, which, you know, credit to the movie for setting up those shots. But, you know, I gushed about those shots while we covered that
you
movie.
Did.
There's so many times where Modair is just hanging out in the background of a scene and you don't even know he's there until he moves. And he's been there the whole time.
Oh, yes.
He blends in with the woods around him. And it's, oh, God, it's so creepy.
That's what made it worse for me because you pointed that out. You're like, go back and watch this one part. And I did. And I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't. And I like scary movies. But yes, I was a bit terrified of Modair. I definitely, yeah, that is a very creepy, creepy looking thing. And I have no desire to meet it in the woods or out of the woods. So my number two is, well, very iconic. Not, maybe not quite as iconic as Godzilla, but I feel like he's pretty iconic as far as movies go. And that is Bruce the Shark from Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
I feel very strongly about him being on this list because while he may not have been as destructive as some of the other monsters that we had or covered over the first 25 episodes, I feel like Bruce didn't need to destroy everything. He made calculated kills and it was almost an hour in before we saw any real substantial glimpse of the shark. And you can thank Steven Spielberg's brand of storytelling for that because, I mean, it's really neat. But I just think that Bruce is one of those monsters that you really can't overlook when you're putting together a list like this. And it was a lot of fun. It was the only podcast that we did that was 2 hours, over 2 hours. So, and it was a lot of fun. And I had to put Bruce from Jaws high on my list.
Oh, yeah. Who are you talking about being iconic? I mean, what person or specifically like kids, like even kids nowadays, I'm sure. I mean, yeah, I know I did when I was a kid and I know there's got to be kids younger that still do this when you're swimming in a pool or something. Who doesn't just dun, 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 dun. It transcends like generations. People know what that is. And
it really does. Yeah. I hope they leave it alone.
For sure.
They leave it alone because I feel like there's this big rush to remake everything. And that is not a movie that should ever be touched. It needs to be left alone on its own.
I agree. All right. Well, my number two is, again, kind of multiple monsters, if you call them that. But and really, you know, that you see them throughout the whole movie, but I'm giving them the credit here because of mainly one scene. But I am going to Jurassic Park to deal with the Velociraptors, specifically quoting or, you know, mentioning the moment in the kitchen with Lex and Tim. So I refer to them as the kitchen raptors. It's the same raptors we see throughout. So the Velociraptors, the clever girl and her squad from Jurassic Park.
Yes. Clever girl. One of my favorite iconic lines in a movie. And, you know, I'm happy every time we go to Jurassic Park, no matter what, because I love that movie so much. So I'm really excited that you chose to include them on your list because they were diabolical, especially the head one, the leader. She was just so calculating and so, like, she really studied things to be able to advance her cause. And I, you know, life finds a way, but with the Velociraptors, they went a step beyond that, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. It's just so much great stuff. Practical effects on those raptors. I mean, from just like stunt guys like wearing these like claw boots and walking around in the kitchen in those shots. But like like the animatronics and stuff are just incredible. The sounds are iconic. Man, there's so much.
It still holds up today, which is a wonderful thing because we know and we've talked about CGI and other types of effects have not, they don't hold up over time because advances are always being made. So you get a few years out and they start to look dated. Mm-hmm. Not with Jurassic Park, because they focused on the practical side of things. And
yes.
Oh, just love it. It just makes me happy. Glad that you included them in. And honestly, it's a great segue into my number one, which should be no surprise to anyone who listens to this podcast, that my number one is Roberta the T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
She's so iconic. She's a good girl, even though she's not a good girl. She does things to protect herself, but it also helps protect other people, except for the poor attorney who decided to go to the bathroom at the most inopportune time.
Yeah.
But I really love her. I love everything that character, because she is a character I consider monstrous characters. So it was kind of hard at first when I was putting this together, because I'm thinking, yeah, but she's really a character, but she's a monster. So I split her off into this, much like Pake did with Michael Myers. I feel very strongly about Roberta being number one on my list, and it shouldn't be a surprise, because
no.
My love affair with dinosaurs in Jurassic Park goes back all the way to 1993, and with dinosaurs even before that. So
yes.
So Pake, why don't you tell us what your number one is?
Well, much like what Daphne said, I feel like anybody who knows me well enough, who's listened to this podcast, is not going to be shocked in any way, shape, or form by my number one, because you know I got to pick those Graboids from Tremors.
Way back in the first movie we covered.
Uh-huh. I mean, because I remember just being a little kid and watching Tremors with my dad and just loving it so much. And like, so, you know, if you've listened to the episodes, you know I've talked about it, that I am a huge Tremors fan. Just even the direct-to-DVD sequels, which started with the second one, honestly. but like, even like, they're still making them. You know, the seventh one came out in 2020. And
yeah, October.
I pre-order every one of them when they come out and watch them still. Like, I even when they're not good anymore, I still am obsessed. They're my guilty pleasure series. I love it so much. There's just something so special and creative and fun about the Graboids. And, you know, you can go into like their different like forms and evolutions and stuff throughout the movies. But I'm really focusing here. I'm talking about the original Tremors Graboid, the giant blind sandworm that's listening to vibrations off of the ground to find where you are. And it's coming after you.
Yep. I am not surprised.
They adapt. Kind of like the raptors. They learn and they adapt. And once they realize people start climbing up on top of roofs, and they're like, well, we can't get them from the ground, so I guess we're going to have to start finding a way to dismantle these buildings and taking those down.
And they did. Poor Lester. R.I.P. Lester. Oh, just one of the casualties of the Graboid infestation in Perfection. Yes.
Yeah.
Such a fun movie. Not a surprise to me. When we were doing this list, I knew exactly where you were going to go. And I think you knew exactly where I was going to go with number one.
Oh, yeah.
It was the 2 through 5 that was like, huh, I wonder what we'll end up picking. And cool thing, we really didn't, when we talked about this ahead of time, we really didn't have a lot of overlap. It was only like maybe one thing per list that overlapped. So
yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
Cool. So before we move on to characters, let's go ahead and throw out some of our monster honorable mentions. Might as well.
All right. We can do that.
Cool.
I had to put Clark from Greenland on my list because I felt like, as a disaster, Clark the Comet, asteroid, large flying object coming in to hit the US and the world. I had to put Clark because it was so destructive.
Yeah.
And funny enough, Clover from Cloverfield and the Jotun from The Ritual were also on my honorable mentions list.
Nice. All right. So my honorable mentions on the monsters is Krampus from Krampus. Just dastardly. Love it. And then I have Ralph the Wolf. So you had Lizzie and George.
Mm-hmm.
I'm throwing Ralph in. We're getting all three of them. Ralph from Rampage. You get an honorable mention from me. Even though Clover was in my top five, there's a part of Clover that we didn't really talk about while talking about her.
Oh, goodness.
Because I kind of also considered a separate monster because we get that great scene in the subway tunnel.
Oh, gosh.
Human scale parasites that come off of Clover. So the human scale parasites get their own honorable mention.
So gross. So creepy. The things that happen because of those. No.
And then just, I was having a lot of fun saying it, but they also are really cool. But of course, I got to go to Attack the Block. Talk about them alien gorilla wolf motherfuckers. Because
Yes. You have to.
Are wonderful, great creatures as well. And then my last one, not really necessarily a monster. Kind of doing like what Daphne did with Clark, where it's more, except mine's even more abstract than that. Especially in the winter storm I've been living in here in Texas for this past week.
Yeah.
It has been a nightmare. So a definite honorable mention spot goes to climate change from A Day After Tomorrow.
Yes. I remember we had such a discussion about that, about what was real in the movie, what wasn't real in the movie. Climate change is like an actual happening, you know, what's happening now.
And I'm living it right now.
You are. And it's
funny. I went out walking in feels like -8 degree weather the other night. So
yeah, that's weather I'm used to, Paik, not you.
that's not what Texas is supposed to be doing right now.
No, no, we actually couldn't record. I wasn't sure if we would get the episode out this week because between power and internet and ice and snow and Texas not being prepared for it, because why would you have plow trucks and sand in Texas? Right. You would not do that to get ready for a storm because you wouldn't be getting the storms.
Yep.
I wasn't sure if we would get this out. I thought we might have to postpone for another week, but we were able to work it out.
Made it work. Yes. So found some connections and power.
Yes.
All right. Well, then let's get to our characters. This will be a fun one too, I am sure.
Yes, I think you're going to go first on this one.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yes.
All right. Well, then my number five, where I'm going to start, is going to go in line with where I started with number five for the monsters. Because for every Michael Myers you got to have a Laurie Strode.
Yes, you do. You do. And I think she is definitely an iconic character. Having watched the original Halloween as a teenager and then moving to us covering Halloween 2018, it was really seeing how much growth the character had during that time. Laurie Strode had every reason to be the way she was.
Oh, yeah. And that role gave Jamie Lee Curtis such a just explosion of who she is. I mean, we talked about it then in that episode, the original, the queen of the Scream Queens.
Yes, the original Scream Queen.
And so having her reprise that role so many years later and come back and just nail it again and be incredible was so awesome.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that too, the movie series, is there's so many different timelines that you can follow that it can get confusing. But I remember that we broke it down really well in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're curious about that and you didn't listen to that episode, check out the movie and then listen to what we had to say about it. It was kind of our first holiday special.
It was.
All right. Well, my number five is not a major character from one of the movies we covered, but one that I really connected to and enjoyed a lot because even though the screen time was limited, I felt what he brought to the movie was really substantial. And that is Clyde from Love and Monsters. He was played by Michael Rooker, and he and his sidekick Minnow rescued Joel from the sand gobbler's nest.
Mm-hmm.
And Clyde had all of these lessons that and things that he kind of imparted to Joel. You know, lesson number one, always look for the, always survey from the higher ground. You know, lesson eight, target practice every day. You know, he had a list of lessons. And he also encouraged Joel by saying, you know, good instincts are earned by making mistakes. And I think that
what if my instincts are bad, well, then you'll die.
Yes. So I really liked that. I liked him as a character, even though he's not a main character. He's just kind of like a supporting character that we see just a little bit into the movie.
Yeah.
It just still, I really connected with him and what he brought to the movie and what he brought to Joel. So I had to give him number 5 on my list.
That's awesome. And Michael Rooker is a gem. So
he always brings his own specific brand of humor, but seriousness to whatever role that he's playing. And I love that. In the future, we'll be covering a movie that he did that, well, I'm just going to keep it a secret for now.
All right. Well, my number 4 is going to be young Mr. Max Engel from Krampus.
Oh, goodness.
Because Max is just awesome. Even though you kind of can maybe people like to pin the whole situation on him. He was kind of the final straw in that movie. But at the same time, he's just a kid and like he had a lot of shit to deal with. And he's kind of the one that, again, we talked about the different endings and the way you can view the ending of that movie. And if we go with the one that I kind of decided was the more positive one that I think we should go with, in the end, he might kind of be more of the reason that they're saved in a way, or at least were spared in some way.
I liked what you came up with for the ending, and that's the ending I'm choosing to believe in.
Because Max takes that moment at the end of the movie to really step up and grow up a little bit and face the consequences and face the fear, and I love that a lot. I think he has a great like growth through that movie on, you know, in himself, but also like his like tightness and bond with his family members. And so, yeah, I think he's just a really, really important and cool character. And then, of course, as I'm doing a little, not really research, but as I was trying to remember his last name, because it's not credited and it's not used really in the movie, except for like in his note. And so I had to go back and find it. But as I was finding that, I remember we made a lot of joke about the, Max's noodle incident in the episode. The joke was like, I don't even know what that is. But then I did find a little insight on that, which I did not realize this. There's some people who may have heard this and be like, well, yeah, obviously it's that reference. But it was a reference to the Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. Because apparently there was a noodle incident that was referenced a lot in the Calvin and Hobbes strips that was never actually explained what it was. It was kind of a running joke that way. So I think there was, it was a nod to that. Now finding that, I'm like, that's great. I love that a lot.
I know. And now I'm even more curious. It's like, what the heck is this noodle incident? Explain it. Tell us. I want to know.
but I had to give Max some love because.
Yeah, he was great.
Went through a lot, but he was great.
I think his growth in that movie really mirrored his whole family's growth, too. Mm-hmm. They all kind of grew together. And he was just the one left standing that had to stand up and do it. So my number 4 should be no surprise to Pake. But this character was the king of pyrotechnics and fireworks. He was one of the smartest because he determined where the aliens came from, that they were aliens and came from outer space. And that is Pest from Attack the Block.
Yes. My boy.
Love Pest. Love Pest. Oh my gosh. He was a major character, but maybe not the top character.
The
but there's just something.
Sure.
The funniest character, for sure.
Some of the best moments in that movie.
One thing that I always come back to is when he got bit and he was so upset, but then he started getting pampered and like his leg was getting taken care of. And he started to become this suave little pickup artist that was trying to hit on Sam, even though he's like 15 years old.
Yeah.
And he was just so funny. I think also one of the funniest moments in the movie was when he was trying to explain to Hi-Hats what's really going on, and Hi-Hats isn't buying it, but Pest, you know, there's creatures chasing us, big alien group. Pake, you do it better than I do.
There's big alien gorilla wolf motherfuckers.
Yes. When he was explaining everything, Hi-Hats thought he was high. I mean, he's just like, what are you even talking about? And I love at the end where he says, we's running for our lives right now because believe. Well, the name of our podcast is Run for Your Lives. So, of course, I have to like that.
Yep.
So I had to give Pest number 4 on my list. Had to happen.
Cool, 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 cool. Glad he's here in the list. You earned it. So my number three, going with another younger character who had some stuff to deal with quite a bit, and that is Regan Abbott.
Yes.
From A Quiet Place.
Yes, yes,
She is just an incredible character, and you know, she's dealing with not only like a disability, but then also emotional like issues throughout the movie where she's blaming herself for the death of her younger brother and having this like torn, you know, between, you know, this stuff going on her inside where she's like, you know, it's all my fault or whatever. And I should try to make up for it and be better. But my dad is never going to look at me the same. And he probably doesn't love me anymore after this, you know, the same way he did. And she's just like struggling with this the whole time where it, I mean, obviously leads to some heart-wrenching, beautiful moments at the end of the movie. But man, it's just the way that she does that. And, you know, some of it goes to the young actress who, unfortunately, I do not have her name on me right now in our notes. We talked about it in the episode. But, you know, getting somebody who actually was deaf, was hearing impaired, to play this character in the movie and be able to do that so well and so right. And I think she did a phenomenal job. And I know just it's cool to see, you know, sign language and disability and stuff be like looked at so well in a movie to where it's not necessarily a crutch. And it actually kind of becomes a survival, you know, thing when she finds out this feedback from her hearing aid ends up, you know, kind of shutting these monsters down a little bit. It's a really cool thing to see the power she has. And then even like she's struggling with her own feelings about her choices and her relationships with her family. She's also like her bond with her brother, Marcus, is really great. And yeah, I love that character so much.
Yeah, that was Millicent Simmons that played that character. And yes, she was fantastic. I loved that John Krasinski was so insistent upon casting someone who was hearing impaired to play this role, because I think it brought a level of authenticity to it that we may not have been able to see otherwise.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy about that. Glad she's on your list.
Yeah.
So for me, number three goes to Roy Scheider's Chief Brody from Jaws. And yeah. I remember when we were covering this movie, one of the cool things that it brought out for me was talking about my dad and his life as a lobster fisherman and relating to Brody hating boats and water. But, I mean, talk about a badass. He had to deal with a lot of bureaucratic nonsense in order to save Amity Island from Bruce the Shark. Mm-hmm. It mirrored so many other things at the time when we were covering this, which I believe was like in October. Mirrored so many other things. And I think some of his conversations that he had with Mayor Vaughn about the safety of the folks and going up against, you know, financial ramifications of closing the beach. I feel like Roy Scheider really brought a lot to Chief Brody. And he's an iconic character that you just can't exclude. And I think, you know, easily I could have gone with Quint for similar reasons because he's so iconic. But in the end, I just decided that, you know, Chief Brody was the essence of that movie. And I have to bring him up. Like, he has to be included in my list.
Yeah. Awesome. Love it. My number two is somebody that obviously can't be left off of this list. If we want to talk about not just an iconic character, but just an iconic human being that makes any character he plays incredible. And that is Jeff Goldblum's Dr. Ian Malcolm
from Jurassic Park. Yes. We're going there again.
In the Lost World.
I'm so down. You know I'm down. Yeah. You know I'm down when it comes to Jurassic Park.
Yep.
So why did you include him on your list?
Oh, man. I mean, just life finds a way. There's just so much, you know, that you can quote or joke about a reference to who he is, his beautiful, sexy, godlike form as he lays shirt open on the hay, injured. No, he's just, yeah, it's incredible. He's like the comic relief of the first Jurassic Park movie, but also like makes so many incredibly great points. And so many of the things he says, like, really make you stop and think, like, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. Like, all of this is a bad, bad idea. And he's like, you know, this, like, going through this checklist in his head. There's like, that's terrible. That's terrible. Why are you doing this? This is not a good idea. But he has the science and the psychology and everything just back it up, where he's like, well, you know, if you look at this and this and this. And so he makes a lot of great points, and he's very educated and very intelligent, but also just very suave and very funny.
Yes.
And
yes, he is.
It's Jeff Goldblum. I mean, it's Jeff Goldblum and his Goldblumian. And so then, of course, Lost World, we get, you know, a lot more side. We kind of get like a family man side of him.
Yeah. I remember being surprised when that movie came out, thinking, yeah, I didn't see him as a father figure.
Yeah, and he becomes less of the snarky wisecracker to, like, the protector in that movie. And it's really cool to see those sides of him in the two Jurassic Park movies we've covered so far.
Definitely. I'm so excited, too, that he's back for Dominion, which got pushed back for a year, but he will be back. The original cast is back. Oh, it's going to be so good.
So excited for whenever I get to
know.
See it.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to cover it, too, right away.
Oh, yeah.
I know I'm going to see it, and it's going to be like, oh, Paik and I have to talk about this, like, right away, because I've got lots of thoughts. So we're going to have to podcast about it. Otherwise, we'll end up talking about it instead, and it will ruin the podcast. Okay, so my number two is Haley from Crawl. Apex Predator all day. She, I really liked her. I thought she was a badass. I felt like the connection between Haley's character and her father and their reconnection and the growth throughout the movie, I really connected with. And I like that she herself, the actress, you know, pushed for certain things in the movie, like being barefoot, and the role was physically demanding, but Kaia Scodelario did not back down from it. I love that she was kicking alligator ass in this movie. And I think as a whole, I really like the character. And that one line, Apex Predator all day, when she gets in the boat and gets it over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Had to pick her.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
To carry that movie, I mean, most of it is focused just on her and her struggle and her survival. And she manages to carry that movie very well.
Okay, Paik. Right. What's your number one? It's such a surprise.
My number one. I know. Who would have guessed it? That going in line again with with my monster list. Of course, I mean, if I got my Graboids for my favorite monsters, then obviously my favorite character has got to be the Graboid Hunter, the man himself, Bert Gummer.
No surprise here. No surprise.
Yeah. He's just, there's just something about that character of Bert. He is wildly overprepared, but it turns out to be in the best way. For every situation, you know, he's this classic, you know, off the grid government conspiracy gun nut kind of guy that makes it look good.
Yes.
Where he's ready to take on anything and anyone. And just his, again, I love the wisecracking, you know, the best quotes of the Tremor series. And I mean, he's the guy that after all the rest of the cast dropped out after, you know, the third movie or fourth movie, whatever. I think, like, he's the only one left, and he is still, like, just making them. And he's holding this series together and having fun with it. And just, Michael Gross is incredible.
He's so much fun. Bert Gummer, they made such the right choice to move forward with the movies, focusing on him. Because he is the character that everyone over time just really connects to. And he's just so funny, and it's such a contrast from playing the dad on Family Ties, which is I grew up with. So it's like, man, I just can't believe it. And he always has lots of toys.
Oh, yeah.
And between the two movies that we covered, I mean, Tremors 1 is a classic, and I prefer that over the second one. But there were things in Tremors 2, Aftershocks, that I just...
Burt shines.
Oh, he really so does. Well. It's kind of like his like his debutante ball Introduction to Society movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, here I am.
They've already... You can tell that second movie with him just coming in to save the day and help out, and then just the focus that they give him, like, they're already passing the torch to Michael Gross and being like, no, this is yours now.
Yes. Here you go. Take it and run with it. You have our blessing.
Yes. All right. So, Daphne, what is your number one character?
Again, big shocker. It's from Jurassic Park. Who would have guessed? My selection was Laura Dern's portrayal of Dr. Ellie Sattler from Jurassic Park. And the reasoning behind that is she's a strong female character who's extremely intelligent and resourceful, and she stands up with any of the other characters in the movie. Her intelligence, the way that she's able to spit back wisecracks when she needs to, like, dinosaurs eat man and women inherit the earth. It's one of my favorite lines in there. You can't help but get behind someone who just comes in as this strong female character at a time when we weren't seeing that as much. And I like to think that she was part of the ushering in of that.
Nice. Yeah, she's got some great, great moments in Jurassic Park. And, yep, she's another one that, like Jeff Goldblum and Ian Malcolm, you know, that I'm excited to get to see come back into this world in a bigger role again.
I know.
With Dominion. Because I think, what was it? I think she was in Jurassic Park 3.
She was briefly, yes.
Small role.
Yeah, briefly she was in it. Yeah, it was definitely cool to see her. And things just went in a way that I didn't expect for her character. So now I'm really excited to see, okay, we saw her in the third one. What will we see in Dominion? Like, what will the difference be? Yeah. Because we saw her married with a child. Now, where is she going to be? What point is she going to be in her life? So I'm really excited to see that in Dominion. I just wish it hadn't been pushed back for a year.
No. All right. So I think that wraps that up. So before we move on to our final list, final countdown, let's go through some honorable mentions of our characters.
All right. I've got a couple.
All right. Oh, cool.
I picked for my honorable mentions Joe and Bill from Twister. I feel like they need to get some love because that couple, their conflicts and how they dealt with a disaster, and they're not only a literal disaster, but also the disaster metaphor, which was their relationship. So I feel like they had to be included. I also picked Allison, who was Laurie Strode's granddaughter from Halloween, because I feel like we saw some of her, and I have a feeling in the next one we're going to see a lot more badass Allison.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited for that. I picked Sarah from The Descent because I feel like her arc went from, you know, it was just a very difficult arc to watch with her. And I had trouble because I wanted to pick her or Juno, and I went back and forth on it because I feel like both were really the strongest characters in the movie. But Sarah, in the end, got it for me because of the way the actress portrayed all of the madness that she was going through. Literal madness. And her arc from going from this woman getting over a tragedy to being terrified to being, you know, vicious. I mean, it was pretty incredible to see. And a bit depressing at the same time. And then my last one is one of the youngest characters that we've covered in the movies. And that was Lizzie from The Monster. And while this movie was really difficult to talk about at times when we were getting in the discussion because of some of the subject matter, I feel like the actress really nailed the role, and the character of Lizzie growing and the relationship with her mother, them growing together, and then Lizzie having to face being on her own, really solidified to me that the actress just nailed it. And I had to I had to put her on my list. So, Paik.
Awesome.
Who's on your honorable mention list?
All right. My honorable mentions. So we're talking Tremors 1 and 2 specifically. Then I also got to give some love to Earl Bassett.
Of course you do.
Another great one. Just his just chemistry with Val in the first one and Bert, and then like with Grady and Bert in Tremors 2. It's just... I love the attitude and
the bromance,
like it's seriousness, but like also like, yeah, like you like these like bromance moments. Like he works great as like a duo, an action duo in these movies. And so Fred Ward is.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the bromance to me, him and Val have one of the iconic bromances in movie history. And him and Grady are also up there. But him and Bert, like, just badass. Badassery all around.
Yeah. And then I have Joel Dawson from Love and Monsters. Yes. Joel just goes on quite the mission and learns a lot about the world and himself through the process. And I think it's really cool. And just a lot of the emotional moments and stuff throughout that movie were great. You had Chief Brody from Jaws on your characters. So I've got another Brody, but it's not Chief Martin Brody. We're going to the world of Godzilla, and I'm picking Aaron Taylor Johnson's Ford Brody.
Oh, yes.
For just, you know, just wanting to go home and instead being enlisted in this war against a giant lizard.
Oh, my goodness. Muto
that he was not ready for, and... You know, him being swept up away into Hawaii and then riding the subway with this kid and protecting this random child, you know, to reunite him with his family just because he's a good guy.
Yes. Such a good guy. And I was so glad that in the end he was able to get home because, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean.
And then I've got John Garrity from Greenland, Gerard Butler.
Oh, so good.
It's just another great protective and, just on point, like very determined father figure in that movie that he has some great stuff as well. And then I wrap up my list with we mentioned him a little earlier, but our wonderful HUD from Cloverfield, played by TJ Miller. I think it was TJ Miller's first.
It role, was.
Or one of his first, definitely at least.
So and much fun, that movie.
You don't even see him most of the movie. You just hear his voice from behind the camera, but he is so funny.
Yes. He brought the comic relief in a movie that was really depressing. I mean, often, okay, in the movie genre we picked for Run for Your Lives, often the movies can be depressing because we're talking about disasters, monsters attacking things, creatures. You know, once in a while, though, you get that comic relief. Or in the movie, there's usually one person that brings you a little bit of laughter. And HUD definitely brought it. Definitely brought it in that film. It was so much fun to watch.
Yeah. All right. Well, we get to our last category, our last list.
Here we are. Let's talk about
overall our top five picks for movies in general.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe we've reached this. Okay,
so you go first time around.
All right, so for me, number five was Greenland, and for a bunch of different reasons. I really liked the movie, although I know not everyone did. I really liked it, and I really liked our discussion about it. It was one of the podcasts that we really dug into some things like emotions and beyond emotions, but, you know, scientific stuff. And I just feel like it's just one of my favorite episodes that we did. So I had to pick it. And mine, I'll be honest, mine is a mix of that. Mine is a mix of movies. I picked it for the movie, and I really love the podcast we did about that. So Greenland is one that nice. I really loved that we did.
Cool. Yeah, I think with my list, I did kind of wind up a little more on the, you know, movies in general side of things, like which movies I enjoyed. But then, you know, it does, you know, how great of a conversation it led to definitely leads to my enjoyment of those movies even more. So, you know, so definitely, like, I think in my, like, honorable mentions, there are a lot of those that was like, yeah, because the conversation was great and it made me really enjoy those episodes too.
Yeah.
Or those movies. But my number five pick for my movie is The Ritual.
Oh,
I know it's not everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah.
It is dark. It is relentless. It is scary. It's a heavy movie, and I love it. I do, because, like, it's just, again, we talked about the main, you know, monster, Modair, the Jotun there, and just how horrifying he is, and just the way he hunts down the characters of this movie one by one, and it's, there's so many just, like, creepy visuals and stuff in that movie. It's horrifying, but it's so good.
It is, and it was one of those...
I really...
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, that's all I was saying, is I just really enjoyed it. Yeah.
And it, for me, it gave me the opportunity to do a second watch, which made me appreciate the movie more. Because my first watch, I did not appreciate it nearly when I ended up appreciating it.
Yeah.
I think it also helps when you talk about it. And,
yeah,
you know, we've made that decision that we, on this podcast, we cover movies that may not be our favorites too. Because we're trying to be...
Yeah.
We're trying to be really objective and bring a lot of different types of discussion to the forefront. And in order to do that, you can't always watch your favorite films all the time. It's got to be something a little bit different, because that improves the conversation and makes it interesting. And so this movie, I went into it with a little bit of dread, although I didn't tell Paik that. Went into it with a little bit of dread. I'm thinking, oh no, how am I going to talk about this movie? I know he likes it so much. But then I just was more open-minded. I think when you look at a movie for a podcast, it's just a different experience. You look at different things.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
And my number four is kind of really out there. No, it's not Thanksgiving. It is.
That's her number one. Spoiler alert. No.
I believe it was our seventh episode. It was the first one that we covered that was really, like, had a lot of humor. And for me personally, I started to feel really comfortable with podcasting. And that was Black Sheep.
Yes. Okay. I think that was episode eight.
Eight.
Seven was A Quiet Place, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Then it was episode eight. Yeah. So it meant a lot to me because we had a lot of fun with it. And the movie, though not one of our top rated movies, it just, the conversation was great. And I remember it being the first time that I started to feel really comfortable podcasting.
Yeah. It was like our first episode where we really got to just laugh and laugh
about
the absurdity of what we throughout the whole recording.
We did.
That was great.
I liked it a lot. And I think it was after that episode that we said, we're definitely going to inject some of those movies more into the flow of everything so we can have that opportunity, because a lot of the movies we cover are really dark and depressing, and so it's good to have a little bit of humor in there, and Black Sheep gave us that
for sure.
Another one of the movies on my honorable mentions list did that as well.
Nice. My number four is, and I think it actually lines up with my character.
Oh my goodness.
There's some of these that, like, line up.
You did a good job
yes,
with
it
that.
Yes, it does.
I did not quite so much.
Didn't even mean to. But yeah, so it lines up with my character thing. But yeah, my number four is Krampus, because, man, it's a fun movie with some really crazy, insane monster and creature effects and works in there with the teddy bear and the cherub angel and the Jack in the Box.
So many great moments.
Krampus himself is just great. And then, you know, I talked about Max and his you know, kind of arc through that. And like all of, I mean, the whole cast, I mean, cause like Max's parents, it's Adam Scott and
Toni Collette.
Toni Collette. I'm trying to pull it off the top of my head without like, yeah. Yeah. And then David Koechner is always great as well. Allison Tolman. It's just, I can go down
such
that like
a great cast list. So much fun.
Great comedic cast that works perfectly because that movie sets up as kind of like a holiday comedy that turns dark pretty quick on you. And so I think they nailed that really well.
Yeah, I think my favorite part is still the gingerbread men in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love that part. It's something that will always, I'll always think of when I think of that movie is, yep, the gingerbread men and the dog yeah. saves the day. Loved it. Oh my gosh. So much fun.
And then just, you know, us doing our holiday movies and that being one of them. I mean, I love Christmas. And so the fact that we got to do a Christmas episode on here and pick a movie like that, that's just so much fun. Yeah, it resonates for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It was so much fun. We have another holiday special coming up too.
We do.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Got a special guest lined up.
Not going to say much more than that. Just be thinking about, I'll let you guys try to figure out, well, what's coming
yeah.
up on holiday? Think about
yeah.
it. Think about it.
It's going to be great. Looking forward to it. So my number three, in fact, my next three, the top three, are not a surprise when you look at my list of monsters and characters. But my number three is Love and Monsters. And it's as much for the movie as it is for the podcast. I feel like it was the first new movie that we got to cover, so it's special. And I feel like our conversations were great about it, but the movie itself had a lot of heart in it. There was a lot of sadness, but happiness and villain, or, you know, villains, but then the good guys win. And it had the crab and it's in your eyes. It's in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just, yeah, it had everything that
yeah.
I wanted it to have and I wasn't expecting from it. And so it's, yeah, so it's special.
Nice. Love that. All right. My number three is Cloverfield.
Not a surprise.
It is.
Not a surprise.
It is a special movie on its own and just like the like crazy, you know, cult fan thing that it's built from it and these other like loosely tied movies and this whole universe, this Cloverfield universe that always keeps people guessing. We never know what's going to happen or if anything's ever going to happen anymore. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, it's fun. And so, you know, the movie that started all of that, even with, you know, the first trailers and stuff being just so cryptic and mysterious and nobody knowing what it was going to be. And then getting this, you know, and I mentioned this when I talked about Clover, the monster, but yeah, like getting this like American brand kaiju and like seeing what they wanted to do with that and how they really managed to pull it off through the lens, pun not intended until I thought about it. And you know what? I kind of like the pun, but through the lens of a found footage film.
Yes. You know, agreed.
Is really special. And I think it's a very unique take
yeah.
on a monster film. And I think that it worked perfectly.
I am glad that you included it on the list because I overlooked it a little bit. And listening to you talk about Clover and Hud a little bit, mm-hmm. makes me want to go back and watch it again. So I feel like I'm going to have to do that, even though we need to watch other movies to record about. I feel like I want to go back and rewatch some of the ones we've already done.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of these movies, especially, you know, starting this podcast. And so a lot of the early ones that we did are definitely going to be some of my all-time favorites and movies that I really love. Cause that's how it works is when we start a podcast, we're like, well, we're going to talk about this kind of movie. Okay. What movies do we talk about? Obviously the ones that are going to come to our mind the first, you know, first off are going to be the ones that we already love the most and already have seen and would love to talk about.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. We still have quite a long list though. So mm-hmm. some of our favorites, our old favorites, we may have done some of them, but we also will have more of our favorites as well as new favorites as new movies get released. Mm-hmm. So my number two, not a surprise, based on my other lists, is Jaws. And I feel like you don't have to even say anything because it's such an iconic movie.
You're right. Moving on. So no, I'm kidding.
Jaws was so much fun to do because we had a guest.
Yes.
And it was I mentioned it earlier, it was our first and only podcast that went beyond 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And we had a really good time geeking out over the shark, the island, mm-hmm. the characters, everything. So I feel like for me, it's multiple reasons. It's not just the movie itself, even though the movie itself, it stands on its own.
Oh, yeah.
But it was the experience of us getting to talk with Rima about one of her favorite movies, or the favorite movie that she has.
Yeah. And it was a no-brainer that Rima was going to be the one doing that.
It was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. So it was a lot of fun to get to do that with her and have her on as a guest. And Rima is someone I look up to. And so it was very cool to have her on the podcast and talk about this movie that she loves and that we love.
Awesome. Well, my number two is going to be A Quiet Place.
Not a surprise.
That movie is just so special to me in different ways. And a lot of it I talked about with the character of Regan. And, you know, a lot of the reasons, you know, the casting decision on her and the storyline they give her and the way they portray her is awesome to see in a movie. But then, like, I mean, John Krasinski, who would have known that Jim Halpert from The Office would end up just making such a terrifying, intense horror film that really manages to pull at your heartstrings at the same time.
He did such a great job because not only acting in that film, he was the director.
Yeah.
And he was behind some of the decisions that made the film so special, which is why I'm still waiting for us to get the sequel. It's been almost a year from when it was supposed to release. So
yeah, I think it keeps getting pushed back too. So
Yeah.
But it'll eventually be here and I'll be happy to see it when it does show up. But yeah, there's just so much to that movie. Just the tension of Emily Blunt's character, Evelyn, with dealing with a pregnancy and a newborn baby in a world where you can't make a single sound or else you're going to die. Like, there's just, a lot of great tension in this movie. And so, like, the character arcs, one of them, I remember, like, the first couple of times I watched the movie, I didn't really pay attention to it too much. But then when we were really breaking things down for the podcast and even noticing the character of Marcus, which is played by Noah Jupe.
Yes.
Who's the son of Krasinski's character. And seeing him being, like, this, like, timid, shy, scared of his own shadow little boy to, like, really, like, taking the reins and, like, you know, kind of stepping up as like a protector and guardian and fighter in his own right at the end and finding his bravery was a really cool arc that I just kind of like overlooked the first few times I watched it. And then, so, you know, you pick things like
that. You do. And I think some of it comes down to podcasting about it because you just look at things a little bit differently. And that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to in the sequel is seeing what direction Marcus goes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he grew so much during the first film that in the second film, I'm just so intrigued. Like, I want to see more.
Because he's got to step up to fill his father's shoes at this point. You know, there's a lot of, I'm so ready to see that.
So excited.
And then, of course, being able to go and visit some of those like filming locations in the house and the barn and stuff. It's something I'll always remember and have a good time with is watching the movie with friends and then walking down and checking out the filming locations the next morning. That's just
cool. You had such a cool experience because everyone that was there has talked about how much fun it was. And it's cool that Mark was able to do that for you guys. And you could have that special, connection to the movie by going there. It's pretty awesome. So my number one is not Thanksgiving. It's not.
Dang.
No. No. My number one is the only movie it could ever be, and that is Jurassic Park. And the funny thing about it is when we recorded that episode, I was very nervous because it is one of my favorites. I just wanted to do it justice, and I was so nervous about it. But the movie itself, I have loved dinosaurs my whole life. And so to have a movie like Jurassic Park come along and present them in such a creative way where the effects were so well done and the script was great and the acting was great and all the pieces came together. For me, it's such a complete movie. And I just still, to this day, I just love it so much. And yeah, I love dinos. It's how it goes.
It's an iconic classic movie that will, I mean, 93 to now, it still stands that test of time perfectly. And I don't see it ever not standing that test of time. Me too. I feel like I could go back and, you know, 40 years from now and watch it and still it would be feel and look and be just as amazing as it always has been.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope the generations to come get to see it because it's just a really special film and the work that was done in it was just phenomenal.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have friends nowadays who have younger kids who they're showing that movie to nowadays and it's giving them horrible nightmares. So it's still doing its job.
As it should. Yeah. Definitely creepy. So, Paik, I am dying to know, even though I already know, what your number one is. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Not really.
I don't know. I think people will be really, really surprised to hear that my number one, going alongside with, of course, my choices in the other categories, you know, with the Graboids and Burt Gummer, that, I mean, clearly, my number one is going to be Thanksgiving because that movie is just not. No.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is fun for its own reason, but yes. We're not talking about that. We joke at its expense. But yes. No, obviously, yes, my number one is going to be Tremors because Tremors.
It couldn't be any other film.
What can I say that I haven't already said over the course of this podcast episode? Tremors. Graboids. Yes. Perfection Nevada, Burt Gummer, Michael Gross, Kevin Bacon, Fred Ward.
Bromance.
Reba McEntire.
Yeah.
Trucks, dirt. Mountain Dew. I don't know.
It could never have been any other movie.
Right.
It couldn't. I would be shocked. Yeah. I'd be like, no, we're going to do this again because Tremors is your number one. Has to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
There's no way that it wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
so good. Yeah, I feel like I should like expound more on it because it's like, oh, it's my number one and here's, but Tremors.
Yeah,
I mean, like I said, there's not really more I can add to. I've already gushed about it all the lists for the reasons it deserves.
I feel like you have gushed about it during the other parts of the podcast today, so yeah, I think it stands on its own. I don't think you have to elaborate. I think you've laid it out there nicely.
Yeah.
So I do have a few honorable mentions. One of them is Attack the Block, which I love for so many reasons. The movie was so much fun. It was another opportunity for us to have some laughter. And the characters were interesting. And I wish Joe Cornish would direct more because I really enjoyed this movie a lot. My others are Crawl, because I really love the conversation that we had during that one. And the last two are San Andreas, which we had our good friend Ben on for. Mm-hmm. I really thought we had a lot of fun with that episode. And I love that movie. It's just a blast. As long as you don't take things too seriously and start questioning why he goes to save his daughter and not to, you know, save the rest of the world. And I also, a movie that we didn't come up so much during, or at all during this podcast, Dante's Peak, because we had, that was our first show with a special guest, was our friend Mark, who has the Pirate Core Entertainment Network. Mark's been really supportive of me getting into podcasting, and it was really fun to break down that movie with him.
It's a great movie. It's a lot of fun. Pierce Brosnan. He's always great.
Yes. So what did you have for honorable mentions?
All right. My honorable mentions are going to be pretty much movies that we've already talked about because I think a lot of mine are either, you know, we're kind of your top fives. But yeah, so I have to give some love to Love and Monsters because I really did enjoy that movie a lot. It was a lot of fun. Attack the Block because, yeah, that's just so many great cast, so many fun things.
Yeah.
Jaws, because it's Jaws.
Yeah.
you know, the reasons we talked about why it was in yours. I mean, just iconic, and having that long conversation with Rima that could have gone on forever and ever. Yes. And I've been totally okay with it. And then Greenland, again, you know, the newer movies that we got to cover, we've been lucky with. They've been so good. Yes. And I'm glad that we've got some great new movies to enjoy. And then my last one I want to talk about was The Descent.
Yes.
Because that one was great. I mean, that was another movie that was just dark and terrifying and dealt with a lot of like moral ambiguity and had like a strong female cast. Yes. That was just killing it. And then, you know, I got, you know, the honor of, you know, getting to bring on Jason Cabassi to podcast with us on that one and talk with him. Cause again, you know, Jason is our pod father, as we joke about and call him, you know, podcasting network. And I mean, I wouldn't be podcasting or probably ever even met you if it wasn't for Jason. And
no,
so
we would never
have that opportunity to have him on and talk about a really interesting movie like that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we both agreed. I mean, we know each other because of being in Jason's Patreon group. And It was so cool to have him on our podcast, our baby. I think that's what he called it. He said, thank you for letting me be on your baby. And at that time, I think It was around the episode like 22, 23 in that area. Yeah. And even then it just felt like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that we've been on, you know, we've done this many episodes, because it feels like we just started.
Yeah.
And we've got to the point where, no, we're in the 20s now. So, yeah, it was great to have him on. I enjoyed having all of our guests on.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun when you get to bring people that you like to spend time with on to talk about a movie that they really like.
We will definitely be having more guests in the future, so definitely on the lookout.
We've got 3 or 4 lined up. Already starting to like scope out episodes into the 30s, which I'm still like blown away that we've reached this far. It's gone so fast. When we do another episode like this, we'll have been podcasting together for a year, and that is pretty cool.
Awesome. I love it. Thanks, everybody, so much for listening to this episode. I'm so glad that you guys, anybody who took the time to check it out and listen. And yeah, I think this was a really, really fun time. And I think it's going to be really fun now because we get to get into your side of things. And let's get into a little bit of feedback and see what some other people had to say about our little walk down memory lane of our first 25 episodes.
I'm looking forward to this. I really am. So why don't I take the first one? It's our good friend Tony from Twitter. I have a tie for favorite monster, and that is Cloverfield Monster, Big and those little guys, and Godzilla. Krampus had some fun little characters like the gingerbread men and evil toys. Loving monsters, I like the creatures there, but not very creative, just big bugs, toads, crabs, etc. The Descent had the scariest creatures. I guess my favorite monster is Cloverfield. He is original, scary, mean. He is covered in those mini monsters that make you explode if you get bit. That's my guy. Can't wait to hear what is yours. Thanks so much, Tony.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, lots of good stuff in there. And I think we touched on most of those. But yeah, even with Clover and the parasites, I kind of split into two. But yeah, it's all one fun thing. But yeah, thanks so much, Tony, for reaching out.
Yeah, we're glad you're listening. Looking forward to releasing some new ones after this week. So you'll have something to listen to.
All right. This next one comes from our good friend Mark from Panels to Pixels and Adrenaline Cinema. He says, Fred Ward and Kevin Bacon's hair were the best two characters.
Yeah, I don't know, Peg. You're the Tremors aficionado. Do you agree with that?
I mean, they're pretty important to everything. So, yeah, I'll say that they are definitely very high up there. They should be given some honor. Yeah.
The next one is from Rima from Strange Indeed. And Peg is a co-host over there. And we're still waiting to see what they're going to cover next. But Rima says, congrats on the first 25. One of the first of many more milestones to come. Thank you so much, Rima.
Your help on really Jaws definitely helped push us there, because that was so much fun. I mean, we gushed about it earlier, but yeah, it's
yeah,
it's great.
When you hear this, you're going to hear a lot of gushing. So,
all right, and this last Facebook feedback here comes from our good friend Damien. He says, congratulations on 25 episodes. I look forward to your next 25 to 250 episodes. You guys brighten my day so much. Now to my list. Number 5, Jack and Sam Hall from The Day After Tomorrow. Number 4, Bruce the Shark from Jaws. Number 3, Krampus and his Minions. Number 2, Val and Earl from Tremors. And number 1, Turkey from Thanksgiving. No, just kidding. Real number 1, Dr. Ian Malcolm, Jurassic Park and the Lost World. You're combining monsters and characters a little bit, and you know what? That is okay. You're allowed to do that.
Yes, I like what you did there, Damien. I like how you brought it all together. So we have only one more piece of feedback. It's audio feedback from our good friend Steve. And let's listen in to what he has to say.
Hey, Pig and Daphne, this is Steve, and this is just congratulations on 25 episodes. Man, it's a milestone. It's great. I know when Mark and I hit 100, it was a huge deal. So I appreciate so much you guys. I appreciate Daphne coming on to Panels and Pixels with me and recording that. Gosh, you guys, this is a great podcast. I love it, and I can't wait to be part of the next 125 or 1,025, however many more you get to do. All right. Congrats.
Oh, man. Steve giving us some high goals to work towards there. We'll see.
Oh, gosh, Pig. We might have to start releasing more than one episode a week if we're going to reach that milestone. Thanks, everyone, so much for your feedback. We really appreciate it, especially for this episode since it, you know, it's the culmination of our first season. Mm-hmm. Even though there will be an episode next week as scheduled. So we definitely appreciate you guys sending us feedback and letting us know what you think.
For sure. And again, if you want to submit feedback, I talked about this earlier in the podcast, but again, if you didn't get feedback to us on this now, you can always reach out to us and send us. So what are your thoughts? If you didn't get to us this time, tell us now. Go back to those first 25, see what we've covered, and tell us what you think are great. You know, which monsters, characters, movies that you enjoyed the most. And then you can always give us feedback and stuff for the movie we're covering next. But if you want to submit those theories and feedback, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/runforyourlivespodcast. You can email us or send your voicemails like Steve at runforyourlivespodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at @RFYLpodcast and Instagram at @runforyourlivespodcast. And if you're enjoying the show, please tell your friends. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, pretty much all the players, Audible, Pandora, anywhere you want to find us, YouTube, everywhere. And if you go to Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars, rate us well. We'll appreciate that. And you can find the links to all of those players, social media, everything at runforyourlivespodcast.com. And of course, I got to give some shout outs to other podcasts in our podcast universe going around here. So again, you know, we mentioned Rima and Strange Indeed. I don't know what we'll be doing next. We may be taking a little bit of a break, a little vacation over there, but we'll get back to it soon once we figure out what to do. But for now, you can go back and listen to all of CBS All Access's The Stand, covered all 9 episodes. The Coda, the 9th episode, is out now, so that has been wrapped up. But go back and listen to those. And then on Panels to Pixels, Mark and Ben are covering WandaVision. And Ben, I think, will be finishing out that season there. And then Daphne and Steve are covering Snowpiercer Season 2. And then on The Walking Dead cast with Jason. Right now, Rima and Jason over there catching us all up to speed on Season 10. Of The Walking Dead as season 10C, kind of in a way. It's been a weird past seasons have been with the pandemic and everything, but it starts back up February 28th. So they're giving a little season 10 recap. So if you watch The Walking Dead and need a little refresher on what has happened before the new episodes come out, go over to The Walking Dead cast and give that a listen. And then Daphne, if you want to fill everybody in on what is happening next week here on Run for Your Lives.
Well, next week, we are back with our usual movie discussions, and we're going to be talking about The Faculty, which was released in 1998. It's a science fiction horror film. It's directed by Robert Rodriguez, and it stars Elijah Wood, Josh Hartnett, Robert Patrick, and Usher. And alien parasites are infecting both the teacher and student population at Harrington High School. The race is on to find a cure before it's too late, before there's no one left. Fun times for everybody. We have a good discussion about it. I'm looking forward to getting this one out.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. And I hope everybody tunes in and joins us on our adventure into season 2 movies, where we will all new movies, all new discussions.
I know.
And then maybe we'll wrap it all up again after like 25 or so of those. So that'll be fun.
And as we told you guys before, we will be celebrating those milestone episodes by covering a sequel in the Tremors franchise.
Yeah.
So the next one will be Tremors 3. Is it Return to Perfection?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's Return to Perfection. So we'll be covering that. And with that, guys, we have reached the end of our episode. Thank you so much for joining us on the first 25 episodes in our podcast journey for Run For Your Lives. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate your feedback and look forward to bringing you more content in the future.
Yeah, we'll be here. We'll be having fun. Please come and join the fun. Join the party.
I am Daphne.
And I'm Paik.
And if you have to run, you better run for your lives.
Bye-bye.